all the time. Sometimes we almost get a bit used to it, but it's not good news. You look at what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, and you see also there's a threat, even of war, rumors of war. Then think what happened in so many countries in West Africa recently with that terrible Ebola virus. Thousands and thousands of deaths due to an untreatable virus that my profession of medicine had got no answer for. But you know, there's something else that's even more worrying to me. And that's the moral degradation of our society that we're seeing today. There's a turning away from God. There's a turning away from God's word. And we are seeing now a society that is aimless. It has no parameters. It has no plumb line. It has no guidelines. Anything goes. You see, what we're doing is we're living in a time, a tumultuous time, a time when there is complete political chaos. We see that all over the world. I tell you, we see it in my country. I'm not sure about yours, whether you've got political chaos over here. I leave that to your imagination. But certainly in my country we do. We have terrible chaos. And you look around and you look at the political situation and you sometimes worry, don't you? Do you? I do. But we need to pray for our politicians. You know, it was said of a politician, I'm sure it wasn't an American one, he's a true politician. He never casts his bread on the water till he's quite sure the tide is coming in. And that's politicians. But we need to pray for them. But there's political chaos out there. We're also seeing financial chaos. I don't expect many of you have been following what's going on in Greece and Europe, but it's a disaster. And they just say, give us more money and we'll be fine. And then another year, give us some more. And there is financial chaos wherever we look. Moral chaos we've just talked about. And it's very, very frightening. And we've talked about the physical chaos of Ebola. But then look at that last one. Spiritual chaos. Have you noticed that today people are saying, doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't really matter. All roads lead to the top of the mountain. Doesn't matter what you believe. Try and find a faith that suits you. You know, one that, you know, actually meets your need. Well, you've heard that I'm a surgeon. Can you imagine somebody coming into my clinic with a fatal condition and I say to them, you need an operation. But it doesn't matter what one you have. Why don't you have a nice operation? An operation that's got no pain. An operation that you can perhaps share with your friends. One that suits your personality. One that suits your culture. Go on. And yet we laugh and that is so stupid. But that's what's happening today in the world. There is spiritual chaos. We are turning our back on the Maker's instructions. And if we turn our back on the Maker's instructions, we are going to pay the penalty for that. I have a somewhat childish illustration that I give to my young people in my own church. Supposing you go out and buy a washing machine and you buy a motorbike. It comes with a book called The Maker's Instructions. But you say, can't be bothered with that. I'm going to put oil in my washing machine and I'm going to put soap suds in my motorbike. And then you wonder. And you blame the Maker because your washing comes out absolutely filthy and all your motorbike does is blow bubbles. But that's what's happening in society today. We are turning our back on the Maker's instructions and then wondering why everything is going wrong. Nationally and maybe personally. So let's turn to the Maker's instructions. Will you turn with me to the book of Isaiah? If you've got your Bibles there, turn to the book of Isaiah and we're going to read from chapter 61. I'm going to start at verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor
and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is the passage of the scripture that Jesus read when he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth. We read about it in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus stood up and said, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." What did he mean? I believe he meant that he was the embodiment of the good news that we are supposed to proclaim. Because we're reminded, he reminds us himself, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There aren't any other ways to the top of the mountain. Jesus said, "I am the way." And that is the message we have to proclaim. You see, Peter goes on to say this: there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. And that's the message we need to get out into this world. There are many people, as we'll talk about in a minute, who are blinded. They are deluded. But we've got to tell them the truth, folks. Because what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples? He said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Now, I'm sometimes a little bit naughty at times like this. And I just imagine what the disciples must have felt when Jesus said, "I want you to go into all the world." If you're anything like me, I kind of put myself in Peter's shoes. And I said, can you imagine Peter just saying, "Sorry, Lord, could you say it again? Did you say all the world? Lord, that's a bit big." And I don't know whether you know, we haven't got email, fast cars, or aeroplanes. Most likely had a donkey, maybe a couple of camels. Is that all? But those men, folk, those men turned the world upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much more should we? We have a huge challenge. We have a world that is fast disintegrating into chaos. We have men, women, and young people going to a lost eternity. And that challenge has not changed. You see, at that time, there were 300 million people in the world when the disciples and Jesus were on the earth. In 1960, that had increased to 3 billion. And then now, over 7 billion people on this earth. Now, 2.6 billion of these are denied any freedom of religion. And you think about that. How are they going to hear? 2 billion had no access to copies of the Word of God. And of the 200 countries in which the Gideons are active, 60 of them have very high restrictions as to religious freedom. It's a desperate world we're living in, folk. And what did the Lord Jesus remind us? He says, we must work while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. So with that challenge, that is why the Gideons International seek to make the Word of God, either in Bibles like that, or as you saw earlier, little testaments like this, available all over the world, that men, women, and young people might have the opportunity to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them. This is a huge challenge today when you think about it, because let's look at it. And the Lord Jesus, Paul, reminds us, how are they to hear without someone preaching? He reminded the Romans of that. Now, I thank God for this church. I thank God for churches just like this, where the gospel is so clearly preached from the Word of God. And that is wonderful, and we thank God for it. We thank God for your pastor and all those who preach the Word of God all over this country, all over my country. But think of those 7 billion people. How many of them will come into a church like this and hear a clear message that Jesus loves them? So how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And that's a challenge. You see, though, God says to us in Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Well, we often very glibly say, Lord, here am I, send me. What does that mean?
Send me to do what? How can you and I go into all the world? You see, there's our mission field, the world. The Lord has never withdrawn that commission to go into all the world. And you say, Bill, how can I go into all the world? I've been to a lot of countries, but I can't go into all the world, nor can you. But you know, by your prayerful and practical support of the Gideons International, we can say copies, little copies of the Word of God like this, into all the world. And that excites me. Do you know, when you look at that need, 7 billion people, evangelism and mission has never been so important. It must be a high priority for the church. And when you think about it, God's Word, that is what is needed in God's world. How are we going to get it there? How are you and I? When we say, Lord, send me, how are we going to send the Word? And this is why it's so important. This is why in the Gideons International, we thank God for open doors in 200 different countries. And in God's mercy, we're able to distribute copies of the Word of God in 100 different languages. In fact, it's 101. And then if you look at it, 84.8 million copies, 84.8 million copies of God's Word in the last year. Do you know that's more than 2 every second? Just think about it. That number of copies of God's Word going out into all the world because churches like you make it possible. So we have a huge challenge, folk, and that's what this ministry, and that's the message we just want to share with you today. When you think about it, because the Gideons International have just simply one objective, and that's to win men, women, and young people for Jesus Christ. We are not a book distributing organization. We are an organization that just loves the gospel, just wants to take the message of Jesus all around the world. So let's think about what Isaiah was telling us just for a few moments before we finish. First of all, the Spirit's on us to bring good news, first of all, to the poor. Well, let me tell you about a poor lady. Poor lady phoned us up a little while ago and she said, can I talk to you? And we said, of course you can. She said, on Christmas Day, my husband and I had an almighty argument, a big row, and I just walked out. Where do I go on Christmas Day? If I go to a friend's house, I spoil their Christmas. So I went and booked into a hotel. And I threw myself on the bed and I wept and I wept and I wept. And then through my tears, I looked up and saw on the nightstand there a book. It was a Bible. I picked it up. I didn't know where to read. But it fell open at the front where it said, where to find help. And one of the headings was, when friends fail you. And I started to read. And I read of a man called Jesus. I read of a friend who'd never fail me. I read of a friend who so loved me that he gave himself for me. Through my tears, I knelt down by that bedside and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to tell someone. Who should I tell? Well, obviously my husband. So I phoned home. There was no answer. So I phoned him on his cell phone, on his mobile. And he answered. And she said, you don't know where I am. He said, where are you? I'm in a hotel. Well, he said, that's funny. So am I. You don't know what I've been doing. He said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been reading the Bible. He said, that's extraordinary. So have I. She said, you don't know what I've just done. He said, what have you gone and done? She said, I've just given my life to the Lord Jesus. He said, that is amazing. So have I. And they went home and she said, we had the best Christmas Day ever. And I'm just phoning to tell you that today we have rededicated our marriage in our church to God. Do you know, what would have happened, folk, if those two hotel rooms had not had a Bible by their nightstand there? What would have happened to that marriage? What would have happened to that couple? That's one of the challenges we as Gideons have, to make sure we place Bibles in every hotel room we possibly can. And I'm going to ask you to do something. When you go into a hotel, look around and see if there's a Bible in any of the drawers or on the nightstand. And if there is, take it out and leave it open. I always leave it open at John 3:16. And when you go, just thank them for the Bible in your room.
But if it's not there, when you go, you say, oh, just one thing, we've enjoyed our stay, but there was an essential piece of equipment missing from my room. And they always say, oh, what's that? And you say, please make sure there's a Bible there next time. We are finding that starting to have an impact. Please do that. Why? So that the Word of God is available for people like that young couple. But God goes on to say, bind up the brokenhearted. Well, you've heard that I'm a surgeon. One day I was doing my ward round, and I came to a dear man called Mr. Hickman. Now, I knew Mr. Hickman well, because only a week before I'd had to amputate his right leg for gangrene. And I saw him as I went round there. He was sitting up in bed, reading a testament that he'd found in his bedside locker in hospital. So I said, are you enjoying reading that? He said, yeah, it's a good book, isn't it? I said, it's the best. And then tears started to pour down his face. I said, but what have I said? I said, what's the matter, my friend? He took a deep breath and he said, they've just buried my wife this afternoon. Oh, I said, I'm so sorry. He said, since I've been in here with the gangrene of my leg, my wife was taken suddenly ill and died. They asked me if I wanted to go to the funeral service. I just couldn't face it physically or spiritually. And so therefore, I just thought I'd stay here and read your book. I said, it's not my book, my friend. It's God's book. And there and then, through reading and sharing that book, that dear, dear, distressed, broken-hearted man, he'd lost his leg. He'd lost his wife. He nearly lost his life. But through reading that little book, he found eternal life in Jesus Christ. What would have happened if that locker had been empty? Oh, hospitals are trying to stop us putting it there. They say infection control, they'll find any excuse. But we're often shrink-wrapping them or finding them other excuses. And we've done actual studies in the UK to show that never, ever has a library book or a Gideon Bible been responsible for cross-infection. So just keep praying that we'll be able to place the Word of God there for the brokenhearted. But what about proclaiming liberty to the captives? Captives to what? Maybe captives to anything. Captives to drugs, to alcohol, to other religions or whatever. Come with me to Bangkok. Bangkok, it was my first visit to this city, and because it was my first visit, they said, tomorrow you will have a driver and a guide. I said, well, that's very nice. All you have to pay for is the petrol. It's the gas. So I said, thank you. Sure enough, the following morning, a lovely little Thai girl called Toy turned up. She spoke beautiful English, and there was a driver who spoke no English. Off we went into Bangkok. We went to Buddhist temple after Buddhist temple after Buddhist. We saw fat Buddhas, thin Buddhas, standing Buddhas, lying Buddhas, sitting Buddhas, squatting Buddhas. We saw Buddha till Buddha came out of my ears. But the last straw was when Toy put some money in a tin, took up some gold foil, and rubbed it on the Buddha to keep it gold. Oh, I said, Toy, you told me a lot about your God. Can I tell you about my God? He said, that would be interesting. I said, there's a big difference between my God and your God. She said, what's that? I said, my God's a living God. And my God loves you. Oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't know me. I said, oh, yes, he does. He made you. And we gave her a little testament. There is Toy in the front of the car reading the testament. And if you know, in the back of each one of our little testaments is what we call the GPS, God's plan of salvation. The way of God's love, the way to salvation. And you can see she's actually reading the back page. She read avidly. The poor driver didn't know what was going on. And he got very cross because she kept forgetting to tell him where to go. I tell you, we didn't go to one more Buddhist temple. Crocodile farm, yes, but no Buddhist temple. When we got back to the hotel, Toy didn't seem to want to go home. And I thought, why is she not going? Oh, I suddenly realized I hadn't actually given her a tip. So I got out my wallet. She said, oh, no. So I said to her, well, Toy, well, can I help you in any way? She said, took a deep breath, and then she said this, and I'll never forget it. Is it possible for someone to change their God? I said, oh, yes. There and then, in that hotel foyer, a little Toy gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the Word of God. And that's why we want to make it available all over the world. But what about opening of the prison to those who are bound? What does that mean? Come with me just to prison for a few moments. It may not surprise you to know I've been to prison several times. What surprises most of my friends is that I get out afterwards. But we won't go there. I want you to meet Brian. I went in to meet Brian. And we sat down. It was rather like one of the television programs. The doors were clanged shut. Big keys were locked. And I sat down in this guy's cell. The door was locked. The windows were barred. And there was just me, Brian, and two chairs. And I said, "Good morning. My name's Bill Thomas. What's yours?" He said, "Mine's Brian." I said, "That's nice to meet you, Brian. Tell me about yourself." He said, "Oh, that's very embarrassing." I said, "No, don't worry. You're amongst a friend. Tell me about yourself." He took a deep breath and then he said, "I've just murdered my wife." Well, I don't know about you, but I find that a bit of a conversation stopper. Well, what do you say to it? You don't say, "Oh, hard luck, old chap," or, well, and you certainly don't say, "Well done." So what do you say? I said, "You better tell me some more." And he said, "Well, I came home one day and found my wife in bed with another man, and I killed them both. I now know that all that is facing me is a life sentence in prison. I tried to commit suicide, but in prison they take away all wherewithal of doing that. And in my depression, I wandered into the prison library. And there on the side there, I don't know whether you can see it, there was a book. It was a Bible. He said, I have to admit, I'd never opened a Bible, let alone read one. But I thought now was a good time, so I opened it up. And to my amazement, there on the top, where to find help, one of the headings was conscious of sin. And I started to read. And then I got more depressed because I found God could forgive sin. But I know he could never forgive murder. I said, "Oh, hold on, my friends." And we went to those wonderful words in John's first letter, chapter 1. What does it say? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And that includes murder. He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And look further down. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That guy took that Bible. He looked at it. He looked at it. And with tears pouring down his face, Brian Piggott gave his life to Jesus. Folks, what would have happened if there'd been no Bible in that library? How would Brian Piggott have come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus? You see, that's a challenge that we all have to face today. It's empty lockers, empty rooms where there's no Bible. Empty boxes all over the world where there are no testaments. And that is a huge challenge. But we have one more. We need to comfort all who mourn. A Gideon who was speaking at a church just like this, afterwards a lady came up to him and said, "Can I talk to you about my daughter? Can I talk to you about Robin?" Robin was 12 years old. She was the apple of our eye, she said. One day she went out cycling on a bike and was knocked down by a drunken driver and killed. My husband and I, our lives fell apart. We had to take that body of our little daughter, lower it into a grave. And then we went back to our home with some close friends and relatives, had some refreshments. But she said, "I couldn't face it." And I went up to my little dead daughter's bedroom, which was exactly as she'd left it. And I threw myself on the bed and I cried and cried and cried. And then I looked up and by the side, you can't see it very easily, there was a little red book that she'd received from school. It was a little New Testament. I opened it up. There was lots of underlinings and writings in the margin. And then it fell open at the back page. And then I read these words, "I love Jesus, Robin." She said, I carried on reading that little book which belonged to my dead daughter. And I came to realize the love of Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus by kneeling at the bedside of my dead daughter. I took it down and showed it to my husband later on, and he too came to know the Lord Jesus. She said, "We want to say thank you to you, Gideons, because I know that one day we'll see our little Robin again in the presence of the one who so loved her that he gave himself for her." Folk, there's a huge challenge. You see, that little red testament was given to that girl by a Gideon who faithfully went to that school. And that little testament may have been funded from someone just like you, from a church just like this. That's why we get excited about what God is doing. And that's why Paul reminds the Romans how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Folk, as you pray and as you practice your support, getting the word of God out into the world, you have got beautiful feet. Look at them in the bath tonight. I sometimes wonder why God calls our feet beautiful, but he means because we're going and bringing good news. And so that's why it's so important that we do that. That's why when the Lord says, go, we can't physically go, but you can go into all the world with the gospel, with the copies of the word of God, by prayerfully and practically supporting the ministry of sending the word of God. You see, we're not here to talk about an organization called the Gideons Just. We're here to talk about what God is doing as we place his word. He's the one who provides the increase. But let me point out to you, it's warfare. One thing the enemy does not want is God's people to share God's word. He doesn't want that. So we need to pray. And people often say, what can we pray for? This. Pray that God will open a door for the word. The word. His precious word. Will you pray that? I also love that promise. I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. Praise God for that. When God opens doors, God opens doors. And will you pray that no one will attempt to shut the door to God's word today, because time is getting short. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. We need more laborers in the harvest of God's gospel, in that mission field. There may be some here, or some you know, Christian business professional men, and their wives would love to join us. Well, if so, please look for one of us with a badge and have a chat with us. It's absolutely crucial. So people say to us, what can we do? Well, I love this little illustration that we have in the scriptures in Luke chapter 5. Do you remember the story? The disciples had gone out, they were fishing. They'd been fishing all night. Do you remember what they'd caught? Nothing. And along comes the Lord Jesus and said, hi chaps, how are you getting on? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, we've caught nothing. Well, just let your nets down the other side of the boat. Can you imagine dear old Peter again? Lord, we've been toiling. We've been doing it all night. We're fishermen. With all due respect, Lord, you're a carpenter. And if there's not fish this side of the boat, there's not fish that side of the boat. But nonetheless, because it's you, Lord, we'll let down the nets in faith. And you know what happens? There was such a huge catch of fish that the net started to break. Folk, I believe God wants us to let down our nets in faith today. We're living in a world that's fast going to spiritual chaos and darkness. The Lord Jesus reminds us, we must work while it is day. The night is coming. We need to let down our nets so that kids like this can know that Jesus loves them. So as I close, people say, how can we help? Well, you can do three things. We've already mentioned, please pray. This is spiritual warfare. Pray that God will indeed open the door so that we can send out even more. This year, 84 million. We want to go over 90. We want to head towards 120 million every year. It's only possible as God's people pray. You may want to participate. There may be some here who would like to join us. You may want to actually practically support. And as you heard, there will be a collection for scriptures. Let me point out that every cent given goes toward the printing and the distribution of the word of God, that we may take the word of God into all the world. Now, some of you may say, well, we can't join, but we'd like to pray and know what's going on. Well, become a friend. We have a program called Friends of Gideons, whereby we keep you informed, you can pray, and then you can support as you are able. We'd love you to do that for us. Then there are the cards. You have a rack over there on the side there. Many of these little cards here, in memory, in recognition, many different opportunities to send a card to a loved one or to a friend or an acquaintance, but also to send Bibles at the same time in recognition of them. Great opportunity to support. So I finish. But there's our mission field, folk. The world. God's challenge to you and I today is to go into that world. And you, by supporting the Gideons and praying and practically supporting it, you are taking the gospel into 200 different countries. impossible to go into all the world? Folks, we serve the God of the impossible. We serve a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That's the God we're serving. I hope you get a bit excited about that sometimes. I think we need to be. Peter in the good old King James Version calls us a peculiar people. Wouldn't it be great if we're known as being an excited people? Because we serve the God of the impossible. I want to finish by just taking you very briefly to China, just to show you the impact of what's happening around the world. 1.351 billion people. And yet now we are able to distribute scriptures there. 2.8 million in several of the provinces there, distributed legally. But I tell you something, folks, when you go into these churches, they are cram-packed because people heard the word of God's there. And they want to go, and they want to receive a copy. And when they do, they are over the moon with it. Let me give you an extraordinary statistic, the reality of the power of God's word. Whenever we've had a distribution in China, within 18 months, the church growth of that area has been between 90 and 300%. Wouldn't you want church growth like that in the US? I'd love that in the UK. But that's what God is doing in China through the power of his word. So thank you very much for having me. It's been such a joy to share with you. But let me just challenge us all. As we see the word of God going out, as we see each one of us here praying and supporting that seed as it's sown, as we see the huge blessing, let's all of us be very, very careful to give God all the glory. Shall we just pray? Father God, we come into your presence now with hearts overflowing with praise and worship. You're a great God and greatly to be praised. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for every copy of your word that's going out all over the world, transforming the lives of men, women, and young people. Father God, thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his finished work at Calvary. Father, we want to thank you that indeed that you this day are changing lives in a world that's fast going to chaos. And help each one of us when we hear that call, whom shall I send? May we each one of us say, Lord, here am I. Send me, that the word of God will go out into all the world. Father God, I thank you for this church. Thank you that the word of God is preached so faithfully here. Thank you for the prayer that goes up from a church like this. We pray that you will pour out a blessing on the pastor and all the team here, that you will bless them abundantly, that as the seed is sown here, they will see the great fruit and give all glory to you. So, Father, thank you for this time spent together. Thank you for the opportunity of coming into your presence. And I pray even now that as your word goes out across the world, lives will be changed. The name of Jesus uplifted and all glory given to you. We give you our thanks now in that name that's above every name, the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all and thank you for listening.